LinkedIn for Business. Novità, consigli e strategie per rendere profittevole la tua attività su LinkedIn. A cura di Leonardo Bellini.
Hello everyone and welcome to this new show about LinkedIn for Business by Leonardo Bellini. In this show, I have the pleasure to have a special guest. In fact, I'm going to interview Sandra Long. Sandra is one of the most well-known LinkedIn speakers all over the world, and she is also the author of LinkedIn for Personal Branding, The Ultimate Gate. So, hello, Sandra. Welcome to have here in this podcast. So, it's your turn. Briefly introduce yourself to our listeners, our followers of this podcast.
Well, good morning. Hello, Leonardo. Hello to all of your listeners. I'm delighted to be here. And I am located outside of New York City in the US. I am happy that you mentioned my book, which is LinkedIn for Personal Branding. And I'm focused, my entire business is focused on helping businesses primarily and also individuals with LinkedIn. And one other thing that you might not know about me is I did a TEDx talk in 2019, which was the first TEDx talk, which was specifically about LinkedIn. So that's just another sort of data point about me. But I'm delighted to be here with you, Leonardo.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sandra. I'm delighted too. First of all, I would like to ask you a personal question. I mean, when did you discover LinkedIn? Because how did you initially start using it? How was your discovery of LinkedIn world?
Okay, well, I actually joined LinkedIn in 2005, which was quite early. And at the time, it was very much for a job purposes.
Yeah.
Actually, what the evolution of that was, though, that I was in a sales role and I ended up not changing a job, but actually using LinkedIn to just get some intelligence about people and connecting with people and kind of, observing. And it was very early days, so I really enjoyed doing that. And I felt like I was learning and connecting.
Yeah. For me, it is almost the same. I joined LinkedIn in 2005. So I think that we both are within the 500,000 members of LinkedIn. And my purpose was to start creating connections to get, familiar with people, like-minded people, and so on. Going back to your book, Sandra, I would like to. I am an author of book author as well. So I would like to know you, why would you like to write? What was the idea lightning that moved you to write a book that is a strong commitment?
It is a very strong commitment. You're right. Yeah. I originally wrote it in 2016 and I just updated it for 2021. Yeah. So I've got the whole new version, but the original idea is still true to this day. And that is that I wanted to combine the concept of personal branding with LinkedIn. There were other books about personal branding and there were other books about LinkedIn, but I didn't see them combined. So I wanted to do that. And what's different is, for me, it's about helping people not just the how-to, because that they can get elsewhere. The whole idea of this book is, how do I position myself for success? Whether you're a job seeker, whether you're a salesperson, whether you're a CEO or president of a company, a marketing executive, HR, you know, we all need to be thinking about, how do we best position ourselves with the people that we're trying to attract? So that was why, and that's still the why.
Yeah, yeah. So in that case, Sandra, we could say that your ideal preferred reader is a person maybe who is looking for a job, who works in a company, who is trying to position yourself in a better way, who is striving to maybe to have some career goals or personal and professional goals.
So the idea, that's a great question. I mean, the ideal reader for me is the LinkedIn user who cares about their brand and their network. So if you're like-minded like me, if you believe like I do that your professional success, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, maybe you're running a nonprofit, maybe you're selling, maybe you're recruiting, whatever your goal is, if you believe that the way you brand yourself, the way you position yourself and the network that you create are key, then this book is, that's who that book is for.
Yeah. So in that sense, we could say that this is not just, let me say, a guide to understand how to develop your personal brand using LinkedIn, but it's also a, let's say, a strategic guide to focus your personal development and professional goals and to find a way, path to achieve it using LinkedIn and through personal branding.
Yes. So, and one of the things that I was pretty happy about was that I have a lot of real people's examples. Yeah. So in every chapter, instead of just being theory, there were examples. So that I wanted to bring it to life for people.
Yeah. In fact, the book is both practical and both a strategic one, I would say. And there are a lot of photos, examples, advices, suggestions. So in that sense, I have read the first edition some years ago and I learned a lot. I tried to follow your suggestions, Sandra, and you help people to streamline this process, starting from the profile. So I think your LinkedIn profile maybe is one of the cornerstones you should care about most to build your personal brand on LinkedIn, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And your profile, I feel like your profile is the best springboard for a referral. Yeah. So if somebody mentions your name, Leonardo, to someone else, the first thing that will happen is they're going to look at your profile, right? So it should be driving and supporting your networking and getting referrals for what you're trying to achieve. Absolutely.
Yeah. And according to your opinion and to professional experience, Sandra, because you also are a trainer, you then will speak a little bit about your initiatives. You have created the LinkedIn Club, you have some trainees and so on. According to your experience, which is, the worst mistake one person could make using a LinkedIn in an unaware, not in this way, I mean, not in professional sense?
Well, this is such an amazing question about mistakes because
Yeah.
there are so many mistakes.
I know it's difficult to name just one, maybe
but
a couple of them or some mistakes to evolve. Some don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do have an answer,
yeah.
which is, to me, the number one mistake that people make is that they miss opportunities.
Yeah.
All right. And what that means is they could miss the opportunity by not having a profile that's positioned. They could miss an opportunity. Some people could create a great profile and then they're passive. They don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So they're missing out on the connections, the opportunities, the content. So to me, the biggest mistake is passivity or missing out, not taking action and not investing their time and effort into the platform.
Yeah. So speaking about personal branding, Sandra, which are, in your opinion, the do's and don'ts, the virtual actions to do that you explain and to suggest to accomplish in your book or in your trainings?
Okay, well, there's quite a few, but I would say thinking before you just jump on the computer, think through how you want to position yourself. And then you want to think about the language that you're using. So it could be the keywords that can help people to find you and to also be comfortable with you and feel confident in you. So it's the language. Using first person is very important. So writing as I or my versus saying Sandra Long, right? And so the language is important and tying that in with the visuals. So you have you want to have a great headshot, a background banner, all of it should be reflective of your brand and what's important to you. It should be in sync and clear and motivational. I tell my listeners, my readers, what I care about is if they're working on their LinkedIn, I want their profile and their presence to motivate other people.
Yeah. So it is a good, I think, a signal to become or to be perceived as an influencer, the capacity to influence and move into action other people, to make them act in a certain way, to influence their behavior or their thoughts.
Yeah, right. You don't necessarily need to be like, some people are already top experts, but most of us aren't.
Yeah.
And you can still come across as someone who motivates other people. You can be someone who is actively learning. You can share your passion.
Yeah.
You know, you can share your insights. We all have these things. So no matter what level you are in your career, you can still motivate other people.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter your level of knowledge, you mean. I mean, but it's the attitude that counts, maybe. Yeah.
I love that you said attitude because I 100% agree. And I think that the other misconception is that people think that they need to go on LinkedIn and just be boasting. And I don't believe that's the way you want to engage. I think you want to be more, become a helpful expert, but not be boasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good, focus. And in your book, Sandra, you speak also about company profile. The branding side of the moon, we say. Which is, I think, the importance to align, maybe if you are maybe a marketing manager or a CEO of a famous or important company, which is important, the alignment, maybe in terms of style, values, maybe tone of voice between, let's say, SEO, SEO branding with the corporate branding?
Yeah, so this is a great question. You know, people ask me about this, about focus, you know, should they focus on their company page? Should they focus on their personal profile? How does it align? How does it work? There's a lot to this. The first thing on the company page is alignment within the company between sales and HR and marketing, because oftentimes companies don't even have that ironed out first. I always help my clients make sure we're on the same page with that so that your goals are achieved.
Also,
and, right? I know you
It's happened to me. Sorry to interrupt you, but understanding who has the ownership of the company page is not so obvious or trivial. I mean, it's a subject of internal debates between marketing, HR, maybe internal communication or sales. And also that it depends on also the goals and the KPIs, the metrics in which you measure the effectiveness of your, let's say, editorial content planning on your LinkedIn page. So it's a very key delicate point, I think, you know, to establish who is the owner of the LinkedIn page. It's simple if you are a solopreneur, if you are maybe a consultant or a coach. And in that sense, I would like to ask you, because many consultants or coaches ask me, maybe also ask you, does it have sense to have also the company profile, even if I am alone or I just have maybe one coworker?
So I like company pages, but so what my advice is that you want to have a company page because it will show your logo, and it's some, especially if you have a couple of other employees, it ties together. You can also obviously post and get followers, but I don't recommend that it be your priority. If you're a solopreneur or a very small company, your priority should be the personal and the personal connections, right? Because you're more likely to attract and do business. You know, your people do business with people.
Yeah,
you give that same advice, Leonardo?
Yeah. Same advice. I observe that without a company page, maybe you have many limitations for advertising, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going or you are willing to pay some, to make some investment in advertising on LinkedIn, you need to have a LinkedIn page. Or if you have some people and you want to develop some employee advocacy program, you need to have a LinkedIn page. Or if you want to create a community of followers, you need to have a LinkedIn page. So I think that it's important as well, even if you are a consultant, a coach, you should focus firstly on your profile, on your followers, on your connections, and on your personal branding, let's say. Okay. But company page as well can contribute to spread your voice, to create some analytics with an analytics system much more powerful than the personal one. So I think you could consider maybe both of the aspects, even if maybe you are a small company, because when you have a name, you have a logo. Initially, maybe it's your personal logo. I mean, you are the logo of your company, let's say. But if you, expand a little bit, maybe you will need to have a logo that is not only your name.com, something like that. So maybe you need something more. And in that case, a LinkedIn page could help. I think. And in your book, Sandra, you speak also a little bit about the one, I think, of the most debated topics on LinkedIn. I mean, about thought leadership. So how could you aspire, if it's possible, to become a thought leader, maybe in your niche? Which suggestion would you like to share about that?
Yes. So I'm glad you asked that question. I originally, when I first wrote the first book, I was pretty excited to talk about content because it was really a new thing back then. But obviously with the new book, I've totally revamped everything. There's six new chapters about content. And yeah. I think that, you know, there's a lot to learn about. There's a lot of different ways, different types of content. There's a lot of different strategies around content. I think being, having a thread of personality or being personal, just a thread, not overly, but for me, you know, it's, again, it's a, there's choices you make about how you want to come across, but that's a choice that I've made, is that I'd like to have, maybe it's my opinion on something, or I bring in a personal story, but it's very business focused for me. And I think that one of the big, I guess the biggest strategy that I'll say that's important to me is to be someone who's engaged with other people's content. So, it, you know, the 80-20 rule of 80% of your time, you're engaging with other people's posts and articles, you're reading them, and you're making insightful comments. This allows you to build relationships, and yeah. you will be seen as, again, that helpful expert by putting in your friendly comments, and more than just saying great post or great article, but really thinking about it, thinking about what the person is talking about, and trying to either ask a really interesting question or bringing up another angle to what they're talking about. And it's something, it will help your visibility, but it will, again, open up conversations. And then when you start posting, those same people will be most likely to be engaged, and you want that engagement on your post, but you have to be really active with others as well. I mean, do you agree with what I'm saying, Leonardo?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sandra. I think that engaging means caring and helping, and maybe is the most authentic and natural way to show your let's say affection, your caring, your maybe, I mean, a love in sense of to others, to other people who can help, and from whom you could have some inspiration, some new ideas, some new thoughts. So when I read on my post some comments such yours of yesterday, I think about about one thought. So how you could establish your trust, or maybe how much it's important in a fund like trust paradigm, starting from trust and so on. I mean, I am honored, and it's like a talk, a caring, an appraisal, something very pleasant from another person. So I think it's the best way to engage and to create a bond.
I love that. I love what you're saying. I love everything you're saying. And also, so creating that bond, and one thing, even in other languages, like you post in Italian. So one of the things I'm just starting to now try make sure I do look at the translation.
Yeah, I imagine.
Right. And so, and I think I did a comment in English, And hope that's okay with you, but it might be confusing to some people, but I love that we can get the translation now. We've only had that a couple of years.
And it's
wonderful. And it's the engaging makes you top of mind. And I love that you said creating that bond. And also people can learn your values and people care about not just your expertise, but what are your values as a person? What do you care about? What's important and how do you express yourself?
Yeah. About that, Sandra, I would like to know your opinion about how it's important also to share your personal feelings, your personal thoughts on LinkedIn. I wrote a post 1 week ago about that, in which I told an episode that happened to me when I was very young, the first international business travel trip during my first job in Italy. And it happened to me to go to Barcelona. And during breakfast in hotel, I was with my boss. We met a very famous Italian person. He's an art exhibition curator, Achille Bonito Oliva. And my boss started speaking with him and told him, we are a manufacturing firm in Italy. We are developing machinery for electroconductors and some very technical stuff. And so we sell these machines. And he fixed, he stared on us and just said, I sell ideas. And so I wrote this in this post. So I share my, and this transformed my way of thinking, literally. And from now, I wanted to become maybe a consultant, maybe an author, maybe a trainer, not just a man who sells machines, let's say. So it's just an example of a personal episode, and I asked, it's okay to write this on LinkedIn? I think it's okay, because I think that on LinkedIn you wouldn't limit to show your expertise or your competencies, your skills, but also to share your inner feelings, maybe your life, let's see.
Well, I think that's the best way to post what you just described. I wish I saw that post. And it, because as I mentioned earlier, it's that either a personal thread or a personal story. Yeah. And those definitely, that story tells about you and what you value and what's important, and that someone who might want to work with you or wants to know you, that will inform them about you in a very, in a professional way, but it's a personal story. I 100% love that and think that's a great example for everyone to hear. Love it.
Yeah. Thanks for your comments, Sandra. And then I'll share you the link of my post.
Please send me that link. I'm gonna translate it and comment.
So I would like to ask you, Sandra. Some people say that LinkedIn is going to a big evolution, maybe not only positive one. How do you think or feel about that? Do you think LinkedIn is going to change or is moving to something different? Some people say maybe it's not so for professional as it was or it used to be. What do you think about that?
So this question is an extension of what we were just talking. We were just talking about bringing out the personal. Yeah. Well, the issue that you're bringing up is that some people have gone really far in being personal, meaning they're bringing out incredibly personal, private information on LinkedIn. We're seeing it. And so a lot of longtime professional users on LinkedIn are objecting and thinking that this looks like Facebook and why is this happening? Yeah. It's happening. I mean, it's just happening. And I think that's where, and I talk about this in my book, that you have to decide where do you draw the line of for yourself? What is your brand voice? Leonardo described a post that was personal and professional, which I loved. And that's the kind of, that's what I gravitate toward. But for some people, they definitely make it very, I've seen people write about very private medical, emotional topics and that I would never post. But I have decided to not be here in judgment of them. I've decided that people need to be who they want to be. And, you know, especially a lot of millennials, a lot of younger people, that's what they want to do. And so I support people as long as they're not hurting people. I think being friendly and nothing negative about other people, if they want to be more personal than I want to be, then that's their prerogative and that's their choice. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And a collateral question is that, LinkedIn has recently introduced some other tools, for instance, LinkedIn Stories, for instance, focus on live video and so on. So some issues or some, let's say, purists, LinkedIn purists, see in this some attempt to follow other social networks, for instance, Stories and so on. What's your opinion about that?
So, I mean, as far as Stories, I mean, I have Stories, and I've done, you know, I'm not an Instagram native.
Yeah.
I have Instagram.
Neither do I. Neither me. Yeah, neither
yeah.
I.
Yeah. So I do go on Instagram. I can forget about it for a whole week and then all of a sudden I'll remember to go on there. So I'm not like, that's not my normal place of operation.
Yeah.
So I think the people that are very Instagram focused, I think they probably love using the Stories. I've used the Stories on LinkedIn, but I have to say that I don't feel I don't think I'm an expert LinkedIn story person. I do it, but I feel that I'm kind of awkward about it. And I would need to put some time and focus if I thought that was something that I, you know, there's so many things to focus on LinkedIn that I prefer to focus on, like posting and polls and article, you know, things like that, doing some video. But for some people, I mean, it's fantastic to have all of these options. And during COVID, during this last year, we've seen great new features on LinkedIn, and Stories is one example of a whole parade of new features that we've received in the last year.
From product pages, newsletter, live videos, and so on, conversation apps for advertising point of view.
Yeah,
lot of features.
I think I'll put a story up today about talking with you, though. I think I'll do that.
okay. So, Sandra, we are going to the last minutes of this conversation. And some years ago, I had the chance to interview, because in my previous life I tried to be some journalist staff of me, let's say. So I interviewed one guy who wrote a book with Philip Kotler about lateral marketing. It's the title of this book. And so I like to end my conversation with a lateral question. So it's a lateral question. It's something that, for instance, you would like to be asked. I didn't ask you so far. So what is a topic or a sentence that you would like to share with our followers to leave your footprint, to leave something relevant in this conversation?
Well, I was going to say...
An expected and lateral question, I promise. Okay.
Well, I actually was going to make it a personal question. Yeah. And is that all right with you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So the question is that you would ask me, have you ever been to Italy?
Yeah.
And my question is, no, unfortunately, but it's on the number one on my list after this pandemic. That is where I'm going. And I'm very excited to go to Italy hopefully within the year, whenever things open up. So that's that.
And you know, Sandra, you can count on me because I would like to host you in Florence or in Milan. So during my first job, it happened to me to simulate to become a city guide, tourist guide for some guests. So I know a little bit. History of Florence, of Renaissance, of Italy. I can bring to you some little secret places.
Oh, I love the idea of a secret places.
The house of Dante, something like that. So,
thank you. That's wonderful. Okay.
So I hope you can meet personally in Florence next month. Maybe within this year. So the conversation is going to be over. I remember and remind all of you to buy this book. And I'm going, Sandra, to write a short review on Amazon about this. And I think that there are some objective reasons you should read this book. It's clear, it's simple, it's complete. Is a very professional reading, and in the last edition, as Sandra mentioned before, there are some more content about content engagement, about how to post in effective ways, and so on. So it's worth reading, and maybe I suggest you to also to write your review on Amazon on Sandra's book. So thank you very much, Sandra. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that for our followers and listeners, it has been also an opportunity to open up their minds, to know you are the first person, not Italian person, I had the chance to interview. So it's an honor for me. And I thank you again for your, availability and your kindness. Okay.
Thank you so much, Leonardo. I love doing this. Thank you so much.
Okay. So, bye-bye to all of you. Thank you, Sandra. I see you in Florence next month.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.